Can we have the first scripture up, please, Kevin? When we were singing, I had a sense that either Jesus was here or it was an angel, someone standing with a sword here. So if anyone's healed during the service, please just kind of wave and say, I've been healed. I'm just guessing. It might just be my wishful thinking, but maybe, just maybe, as we sit at the feet of Jesus and learn, take upon his yoke, because it's light and easy, and learn from him. First scripture, there we go. I was sharing with a couple of vicars this week, and they said, what makes a church different? Because we've all pastored different churches, vicars and ministers, and we all came to the same conclusion that it's a group of people who have an enthusiasm about their relationship with God. That's what really makes the difference. There are doers, there are helpers, there are good people. But if you've got a core of people that are really enthusiastic, first and foremost, about their relationship with God, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, it's fantastic when you go out and do things, okay, because that's part of being church as well. But when you're enthusiastic about your faith, that's really what the heart of a pastor is about. That's really what I love seeing. More than the doing is someone enthusiastic about their faith, their relationship, first and foremost. And I got this text. You might have got this text from John Platts this morning. Did you? Let me read it. Okay. John felt the Lord saying this morning. Beloved, don't be cast down by how little you seem to do for me. For, O my dear one, I see your heart of love for me, which gives me far greater joy than anything you can ever do for me. Precious child of mine. So it's not just a pastor's heart that loves to see someone enthusiastic about their faith. But actually, you have a Heavenly Father. You have a King Jesus and a Holy Spirit who, that's first and foremost what they love to see in you, is an enthusiasm for your relationship with them. Where does this enthusiasm come from? If you were to pinpoint it on your being, where does it come from? You can't conjure it up in your mind. You can try. It comes from your spirit. An enthusiasm that comes from your spirit, from his spirit to his spirit. And I've noticed this for the first time in the Bible this morning during my devotional time. I've just started Romans. And it says, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. I'd never seen that before, partly because I've got an old version of the NIV. And the old version says, whom I serve with my whole heart. But actually, the new NIV says that, and the King James says that. And when you go to the Greek, which I checked out this morning, it says, with my spirit. I just want to bring that out because I haven't heard any negative feedback, but just in case you're thinking, why do we keep studying the subject of our spirit and God's spirit? Because that is foundational to your relationship. It's foundational that you get it. And so we carry on. I just wanted to recap for the benefit of those who weren't here last week. I just wanted to recap a couple of things. Okay, very quickly. The two parts of a person's being that actually work together to secure and receive their salvation. What are they? Romans 10 says, heart and mouth. If we turn there, or Kevin will turn there, heart and mouth. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So the heart and the mouth working together is a wonderful, powerful, godly thing. It's a pattern that we see in the Bible. And in Proverbs 18, we read last week, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power. And Jesus spoke of a powerful relationship between the heart and the mouth, or the tongue, too. In Luke 6:45, if Kevin can keep up with me. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings out evil things stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So Jesus is saying that the mouth is the main way of bringing out what is in the heart. It's not the only way, but in God's eyes, it is the main way he and you can bring out the good that is stored in your heart. And we discussed that Christians have the Holy Spirit in their heart. So what good things are stored in their heart? And then we looked at James chapter 3 and how he echoes how powerful the tongue actually is. In James, he laments that actually the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So James is talking about how bad the tongue can be when the person speaks out from their flesh. He says, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. He's talking to Christians here. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Well, the answer is no. So how can good things and bad things come forth? How can praising God and cursing people come forth out of a Christian's mouth? Because there are two springs, the flesh and the spirit. And it's that same Romans 8 switch problem. Do we set our mind on the flesh, or do we set our mind on the spirit? And even though James says no human being can tame the tongue, we asked last week, but can God? Is anything impossible for God? What is impossible for man is possible for God. So God can tame the tongue. And James said the tongue steers the whole person's life. Okay? So God, can God tame the tongue? And if the tongue has the power of life and death and sets the course of one's life, if you were God, how would you do it? How would you help your child tame their tongue? Well, then we looked at my motorbike battery, didn't we? And we said, what do we call a battery when it's not got its charge? It's no use anymore. We call it dead. It's dead or flat. And what part, or what did God say to Adam and Eve if they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? They would die. But obviously they didn't physically die right there and then. So which part of them died or became dead? Their spirits. And that is why they didn't realize they were naked. They had no problem with their nakedness because before that happened, before their spirits became dead, they were spirit-dominant people. They knew no evil, just only good. And that flowed forth from their spirits being in union with God's spirit. But suddenly, when their spirits became dead, their flesh came to the fore, their soul and their body came to the fore, and all of a sudden, they felt fear and shame and afraid, and they hid themselves, and they realized, I'm naked. But when Jesus came back, he made a way, taking away our sin, so that we could have these born again, renewed spirits, suddenly connected back to the God Spirit. We became alive once more, fully charged. And we ask the question, how would God help his new children, born again believers, how would he help them become spirit dominant again, spirit charged? And if you could, at the same time, help them to tame the tongue and therefore begin to steer their life and the lives of others. Well, how did God do it? We turn to Acts chapter 2. We are so used to being dominated by our flesh that being spirit-led or spirit-conscious, or what Paul said, whom I serve in my spirit, the sense of being spirit-conscious or spirit-led is alien to us. But if you're God, how would you help born-again believers suddenly realize that their spirits are recharged again, alive, and they can be spirit-led? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Which part of the disciples' spirit, soul, and body is being prominent at that moment? Their spirits. In 1 Corinthians 14 it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So right at that moment, it's like a heavenly jump start. Get ready for something. Jesus said, didn't he? You will see me, and in a little while you will see me in a different way. You will begin to get to know me in a different way. It's through your heart. It's burning within you. Here we have a heavenly jump start. Clear! Suddenly they find themselves speaking languages they've never learnt before, because their spirits are coming to the fore once more. Isn't that wonderful? A little bit scary. A little bit, whoa. We find out that this wonderful ability, this gift of disciples speaking in languages they've never known before from their spirits as the Spirit gives them utterance, it's not just, it is a wonderful sign and a wonder, but it's not just a wonderful demonstration of God's mighty power. It has a very practical, down-to-earth effect for a believer as well, helping them to discover and be spirit-conscious, to help them to set their minds. Should we turn to Romans 8? Is that on your next list, Kevin, or have I jumped a bit? Did I skip a bit? I did, sorry. Romans 8. Can you see the dilemma of Adam and Eve and us here? The mind governed by the flesh is death. I'm fearful, shamed, I'm naked. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And so we have here, by the way, this is just one example. Okay? This is one way that God helps a believer become spirit conscious and spirit led. Not the only way. Okay? We'll find out what other ways he does. But let me stick. This is the first way that God seems to jumpstart or help believers to be spirit conscious and tame their tongue at the same time. Okay? Next. What happens next? Let's see if God, who created human beings, let's see if he changes tack and decides to do some other way of bringing someone's spirit to the fore and taming their tongues at the same time. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So has God changed tack? No. It's still the heart out of the mouth. Okay, yes, he has changed in a sense that they're not speaking tongues this time. They're speaking the word of God in their own native language boldly. From his spirit to their spirits and out of their mouths. And Jesus had said to them, had he not, when the Holy Spirit comes, This is John 14 or 15. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, bearing in mind, as they're speaking the word of God boldly, they're not walking around with the Bible quoting from it. Firstly, there's no New Testament Bible yet, because actually it's what they say that creates the New Testament Bible. So they're not walking around going, quoting from scripture like that. And they're not walking around with Old Testament scrolls either. Most of these guys were unlearned fishermen, sons of fishermen. So they were speaking the word of God boldly by a combination of the Holy Spirit reminding them what Jesus has said to them already and teaching them all things. It's a mixture of remembering what God has already said in his scriptures and teaching or revealing what God is saying right now. Does the Holy Spirit still do this to believers today? Does the Holy Spirit still bring to your mind something that Jesus or the Word of God has said or is saying right now? The Bible says that the Word of God acts like a sharp sword, dividing what?
Soul
and spirit. So have you ever had a negative fleshy thought, and in response to that thought, you've had a scripture come up as well to combat it? Yeah? That is the Word of God dividing soul and spirit. Your soul, your flesh, your mind says and judges and thoughts one thing, and your spirit says, mm-mm-mm. This is what God says or is saying. This is what he said. This is what he's saying. I'll give you an example. Look at him walking around like he's God's gift to women. I bet he spends hours in the mirror. Vain git. Can you imagine what might come up from your spirit? Your soul says, Rrr. What would your spirit say?
He's made in my image.
He's made in my image. Yeah. Do not judge. Okay. What about, so that's quoting from scripture, isn't it? Bringing to mind what God has already said. How about your flesh says, I don't think even God will forgive me this time. Yeah? Your spirit, something else, a voice might say inside you, no, he forgives all your iniquities. If someone said, I don't think even God can forgive me this time, and then another voice, or they heard another thought that said, yes, he will, or yes, I will. Is that a direct quote from Scripture? No? Is it still God speaking?
Yeah.
And then we have your mind flicking between the two. What do I go with? What do I believe? What do I act upon? Okay? And what do we often end up doing? Well, worst case scenario, we end up speaking or acting what the flesh says. Okay? What's the best case scenario? Well, we end up following this advice sometimes, which is, if you haven't got anything good to say, don't say anything. You ever done that? Which is good. It is good advice, isn't it? I haven't got anything good to say, then I'm not going to say anything. Okay? But actually, what the Holy Spirit would say to your spirit is, I want you to go one further. Okay? Which is not just to subdue the negative, push it down, deny it, but actually to release the positive. Okay? And that is what happens. We got Roman 8 there? Sorry. And that's what happens with the Roman 8. Life and peace is released. And it tames your tongue in the process. What I'm suggesting is that the Holy Spirit, this is what Jesus said when he said, go the extra mile. Your flesh says one thing, your spirit says another. How about You release what's in your spirit and you speak it out. Whether it's a word from Scripture, whether it's a blessing, whether it's just something that suggests life and peace, you go the extra mile and you speak it out, and at the same time you're taming your tongue. King David was not born again. He was alive before Jesus came. So he couldn't be one spirit with the Holy Spirit, but he was someone that the Holy Spirit could minister to and through. Was it King David who wrote Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul. I think it was. Well, here's how, and I didn't notice this until I was flicking through the other day. Psalm 39. This is what King David said when he tried to say nothing. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remained utterly silent, not even saying anything good. But my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue. And then David pours out lament, repentance, and praise. Instead of just saying nothing, give a voice to that which God is putting in your spirit. Our reading in Acts today says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is another way the Lord helps his children to be spirit-minded, speaking the word of God. And I can say with absolute certainty that there is a word from God in your spirit right now. Let's just spend 10 seconds. What is that word from God in your spirit right now? Anyone heard a word from God? Hands up if you heard a scripture, a word from God, something just saying something. 3, 4, 5. So, okay. I'm with certainty that there is a word of God in there. So, it's either that the Holy Spirit is not speaking right now, or maybe we need help connecting and finding where our spirits are, because they're not up here. They're down there, okay? Or it might be some other reason, but I am pretty sure that the Holy Spirit always has a word of God in our spirits. Okay, so let me write down the second one. Go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, word of God. So, another way God helps us to be spirit-led, spirit-aware, and tame our tongue at the same time is the word of God, speaking the word of God. Okay, see if God changes tack a bit later on, especially as these people are non-Jewish. The first Gentiles to be born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, or the first occasion that it's reported here. Acts chapter 10, a Roman soldier and his family and friends, what happens to them? Okay, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Has God changed his way of doing things? Has he changed tack at all when it comes to making people aware that now they have a new born again spirit and their spirit should come forth? No. They spoke in tongues and praising God. Okay? Praise. Can you remember what part of a person is speaking or praying when a person speaks in tongues? It's their spirit. My spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. How about the praise? Okay, they heard them speaking in tongues, and they heard them praising God. How about praise? Where do you think that was coming from? Spirit. Their spirit. Here's an interesting question, though. Can praise come from our flesh? Can we praise God with our flesh? Yeah? If we asked a non-believer to praise God, please, you know, just praise Jesus right now. Could they do it? Yeah, they could utter words, couldn't they? Oh, praise you, Jesus, you're amazing. Yeah? But praise is praise, right? Any old praise is good enough for God. Is that true?
No.
So do you think God cares where a person's praise comes from? Yeah? Turn to John 4:24. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. So does it matter to God where your praise comes forth from? Yeah, absolutely. But more on that another day. So far, God has not deviated from the spirit and out of the mouth. Okay? Although what comes out of the mouth might be different, it might be tongues, word of God, praise, the actual root, the MO, is the same. To the spirit, out of the spirit, out of the mouth. Okay? How about any more examples of what God might do to help a believer be spirit-led and tame their tongue at the same time? Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 5. Oh, dear. On hearing this, they were baptized, this is water baptism, in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, there's that tongues again, and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Okay. Prophecy. Prophecy being God-inspired words that encourage, stir up, build up, and comfort. Revelation says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. God-inspired words that declare, proclaim, encourage, stir up, mainly on the subject of Jesus. Okay, are you noticing a pattern here? From the heart, out of the mouth. Okay? Whether it's tongues, word of God, praise, prophecy. Out of the heart, or from the heart, out of the mouth. That is the main way, not the only way, but the main way we see in our Bible that God helps a believer be spirit aware, spirit led, and control or tame their tongue at the same time, submit their tongue, and thus steer their whole life. Can you see that? Now, as human beings, our default position is giving our flesh the voice. Because our minds are so used to being set on the flesh. But when we become born again, we need to realize that it should be our spirits that we mainly give voice to. So as well as flicking our switch from our flesh to our spirit, which it says in Romans 8, what else do we need to do? Give voice to that which is in our spirits, whether it be tongues, whether it be the word of God over our situation, whether it be praise. Not from our flesh, remember, our minds, from our spirit. God cares about that. Whether it be prophecy. And there is one more as well, but we're not doing it this morning. Give your spirit a voice. Jesus said, bring out the good which is in your heart. And how did Jesus say that is done? For the mouth speaks. That's how you bring out the good that is in your heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So simple. And yet we find it so difficult. Ever wanted to encourage someone? But actually your flesh says, no, I don't bother. Ever had that happen? You've had a thought of encouragement for someone, but your flesh says, oh, too late now. They've walked off, or don't bother. Give it voice. Give it voice. Okay, that's your homework for this week. And find out what the fifth one is. Go and find out what the fifth one is. Folks, this is not a Sunday thing. This is for Sundays, but this is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. Every day, in your spirit, there is going to be tongues, word of God, praise, prophecy. There's going to be one of those. Constantly. You can't switch the Holy Spirit off. And I heard someone say, and it's not in the Bible, but I heard someone say that your spirits do not sleep. Your bodies might sleep, but your spirits do not. You cannot switch your spirit off. Okay? Learn to start giving your spirit a voice. On a Sunday, great. But Monday to Saturday, absolutely. Make this a lifestyle. Okay? Thank you. Heavenly Father, oh, help us to get this. Help us to be those that offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our act of spiritual worship. Help us to be those that love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, all our being. Lord, help us to be those that can tame the tongue because we give our spirit's voice. God, thank you. This is possible, not by human beings, but by your spirit. God, we worship you. We love you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, have your way. Lord, may we be tongue-talking, prophesying word of God boldly. Prophetic people speaking out what your spirit testifies to our spirits. Because we are children of God, led by the Spirit of God. Amen.